We are rolling, but let's officially go.
Like this drill?
No bullshit news.
Charlie, it's very simple.
No bullshit news.
I'm thinking.
Like most of your stories, it's false. No bullshit news.
You are fake news.
No bullshit news.
Stop with the media bullying.
Charlie?
Stop the media bullying.
That's
no bullshit news.
Hot dog.
Yeah, no shit. No shame to my game.
No. Remember madness? Bullshit news.
Yeah, I love madness.
That's madness.
Mr. Methane liked to fart along with madness. I don't know if you remember Mr. Methane.
Well, they have a good beat.
Yeah, they're cool as hell. Wow. That's a nice tune. What song is that?
What is it? One Step Beyond? One Step Beyond.
Well, Our House is, of course, what most people remember of Madness, but they had a lot of great tunes.
They did. I was just sitting in my basement drinking beer thinking about the show. You know, just trying to freshen it up each week, dude, because I sit down there at night and I just go, I think I'm going mad.
There's a lot to get mad about.
But it just feels like it can't be fixed.
I feel the same way, which makes me feel like, why are we even talking about it? Why are we wasting our time? But it's the zeitgeist, right?
You got to have hope.
Well, you got to fill your time up on Earth, don't you?
Yeah, it eats up time. You're right.
And you can't capitulate. You can't.
But I go through periods where I feel like, you know, I don't want to spend 14 hours a week watching football anymore. And maybe with this, sometimes I feel like, I never do, but sometimes I feel like I need a break from all the insanity on the left and the right.
Yeah, but I'm living in the middle, and it feels even worse because I'm watching them both going, what the fuck is this? It's not even reality.
That's how I feel. Same page, brother.
Where do you go to get away from it, though?
Well, it's not that I want to get away from it. It's, I can't change it. You know, I'd love to change the world, and I don't know what to do. It seems so simple. Equity.
Civility.
No, it is really hard to get away. That's why I'm excited about your guest, because he's been somebody who can't go out to dinner and get away with it.
Well, is it Tucker
get away
Carlson?
From it.
He's going to call in a minute, you know, from Tucker Carlson tonight on Fox. And
his wife can't be at home and get away from it.
Yeah, you know, and he considers himself kind of a small D Democrat, middle of the road, but you appear on Fox or you challenge, you know, status quo.
Well, if you're perceived to support Trump.
Yeah, I think, well, sometimes he does and other times he doesn't. I mean, I don't think he was into the tax breaks, for instance. I think that of anything that's been done in these 2 years, that's the thing that's going to hurt most in the long run.
He wasn't crazy about the Amazon deal, I believe. I was watching Tucker the other night, and I kind of jumped in midstream, but I think he was not entirely pleased with all that New York gave up.
Yeah, you mean the oligarchy running everything. The rich guy runs everything, and it's all dressed up in democracy's clothes. I mean, I agree with that. And I've known the guy a long time. We agree on some things, a lot of things we don't, but I'm not going to beat on his door. I'd rather debate with you and talk with you, try to build something instead of just ripping everything down.
Well, I feel like we can all agree that people should not be beating on someone's door because they're a commentator on Fox News. But you know what's interesting? I noticed a lot of people didn't mind it at all.
Some people supported it.
I know.
Some people were trying to find
there's the
excuses.
Tribalism. You know, I mean, well, yeah, of course, it's fine. Well, he's on the other side.
Well, they didn't beat down his door. They simply knocked on it hard and spray painted shit in his driveway. Look. His fucking wife lives there.
You're harassing the guy.
Bullhorns? Placards with your address on it?
No, I just think it's horse bleep, and I'm not a fan of the group that was doing it either. But I would think everyone would universally agree that that's crap.
Yeah. I mean,
that's wrong. He's at home. He deserves a privacy. Is he so bad that he doesn't deserve peace of mind when he's at home? Is he that awful? Is the right that awful?
Well, I guess if you're going to stir up hatred, you have no respite and no rest. I guess that's the new mantra, isn't it? But again, because I know the man, he's my friend, you know what I'm going to get. I mean, I get hit. I get called a Bolshevik and a fascist. And I'm like, I'm a middle-of-the-road guy that likes people. I want fairness. How the fuck am I a Bolshevik? But a Bolshevik and a nationalist are both fascists. You know what I mean? That's not... democracy. That's not respecting your neighbor.
Well, one of our local columnists said this midterm election was an election for hate or against hate. Well, that's a pretty broad brush there.
Yeah, for hate or against hate. I think yep. I could say most people are probably against hate.
I like to think
up for the for hate.
Yeah, I like to think that generally we don't like hate.
Right.
See, I mean, but we're for employment. We're for liking each other generally.
I'm for breathing.
Yes. Sure.
But it's gotten so dumb. We're not even talking about why Trump got elected anymore, are we? Like, you know, what the underpinnings of that, the discontent. We don't, bye-bye, Mr. and Mrs. America. It's really not about you anymore or the way that you're living.
I don't think the anti-Trump people have even analyzed why he got elected, because there are things they could do to make him less electable.
Well,
a lot of things.
Bernie, in a probably more decent way, saying the same shit. What'd he get? 43% of the vote, and it was all rigged. All rigged. Put him on.
All right.
Hey, Tucker, you on?
Yo!
What's up, bro?
I'm right here, man. How are you?
Oh, well, man, I'm probably in the crosshairs because I'm living in, you know, Michigan, and I got you on, and now everybody's going to hate me too. Or really love me.
Only half the people, Charlie.
Oh, Tucker, let me introduce you to my friend. This is Drew Lane. This is the king of Detroit radio. And
hey, Drew.
Hey, Tucker.
And you talked to Bob on the phone.
Hey, Tucker.
Yeah, I love Bob. I thought Bob was you.
Yeah, no, I...
Most people think he's Alex Jones.
He sounds like Alex Jones, actually.
But I don't do the supplements.
Do you smoke?
No, of course not. Never done it. Never picked it up.
Yeah.
or a pack a day, it's hard to say.
Well, Tucker, look. Man, I'm fucking heartbroken. I just can't see my way through what's going on. I sit in my basement at night, and I'm living in Detroit. I'm trying to present the news that the media, is not giving the people that they need to know. You know, basically, the rich are getting very rich. The poor are at each other's throats. We're not really discussing why that is. This is an election about hate or anti-hate, and we've given up on the reasons why Trump even won, what the underpinnings were.
Right. Well, I think everyone in Washington on both sides has lost sight of that. And the reason is pretty simple. The middle class is dying. And that's why Trump got elected. I mean, there were all kinds of options on the Republican side. They had a perfect candidate for you. He was Jeb Bush. I mean, he was like genetically engineered to be the perfect Republican candidate. And Republicans said no. So, I mean, the truth is this election was a bigger deal than any of us realized, and that had nothing to do with Trump. Trump was just a vessel for the frustration of a country that outside a few coastal zip codes is dying, and nobody is acknowledging it. I mean, I know you've been saying this for years. You've written books on it. You've been making as much noise as one man can about this because you live there. But most people where I live, and in New York and Los Angeles and San Francisco and the Loop in Chicago. I mean, there's no sense of any of that until you have an election like 2016 where they elect this orange guy and you're thinking, why would they do that? And of course, if you take 20 minutes and travel around the country you're born in, you understand why.
Because, it gets boiled down to this, Tucker, because there's a great white menace, right? Because white people, look, let me put it to you this way. Whatever you think of Trump, whatever you think of his policies, the effectiveness of them rolling into the future. When he renegotiated NAFTA and we have the USMCA, $16 an hour for, 45% of, auto factory work and 75% of the components have to be made in North America. Not a single reporter locally, nationally, or internationally bothered to come here to Macomb County to ask auto workers getting off the third shift at 9 in the morning on Thursday with their paychecks at the bar, what they thought of it. So when they maybe go for Trump again because they see that he's at least acknowledged their financial situation, it won't be presented that way. It'll be presented as they're misogynistic, racist people. Where is the fucking media who promised us, once they got caught with their pants down, that we will do a better job of finding America and representing them?
Well, that's really the question. And they got completely sidetracked and completely mesmerized by Trump. They felt personally threatened by him for legitimate reasons and illegitimate reasons. But they sort of decided day one everything was about him. And they missed the story, which is still ongoing, which is the total realignment of our political system, complete realignment of it, and the total change in our economy and our society itself. Like, everything is different. We're undergoing this massive revolution in the way money is made and distributed. A small number of people are getting richer. Everyone else is languishing. I mean, that's a good, whatever you think of it, maybe you're for it, maybe you're against it. It's a great story. Nobody's covering that. And I guess what I, look, I'm so bored at this stage. At first I was outraged when, you know, you'd say something, people like, you're a white supremacist. And I would always think, because I'm so literal, I think, well, actually I'm not. I mean, if, you know, no one around is talking to myself, I don't feel that way at all. That's not actually how I feel. I've never felt that way. I don't even see the world really in racial terms. I'm from Southern California. I'm 50. You know, I didn't grow up in that world. It's not how I think, A. And then B, I'd think, well, that's so outrageous. How dare you say that about me? And now I think, I don't even care. You don't mean it. It's just dogs barking. It's children yelling. It doesn't mean anything. What bugs me about it is all the race and gender and sexuality talk. It's a distraction from the actual conversation, which is about economics, and no one wants to have it. And by the way, I would say to some extent that's intentional. This is a distraction. This is a diversion planted in our path to get us off the scent of the real story, which is who's getting rich and who's not. That's the real story.
But remember, dude, I mean, you know the totem of American life, right? Blacks are at the bottom, then the working class whites are next in the trailer park, and then we move our way up. So there is a race component in the fact that whenever things turn to shit, black people tend to feel it first. That much.
Oh, for sure.
Why not acknowledge that? Why not acknowledge that and get some people off your ass and off your doorstep?
Well, because that's not true, for one thing, right now. I mean, there are many ways to measure this. I mean, that always has been true, for sure. And there are a lot of the biggest sins America ever committed were racial sins. I couldn't agree more. I'm not trying to pretend that race and racism haven't played a role and don't play a role in America. Of course,
nor am I saying that you're doing that, just to be clear.
No, but what I am saying is, if you're going to look at the numbers, which is, you know, it doesn't tell you the whole story, but it's a good place to start. There's only one group in America whose life expectancy is shrinking. Okay, and it's actually working class whites without high school degrees. Like, they're actually dying younger in huge numbers, and that's never happened before in American history. Now, that doesn't tell the whole story, of course, but it tells you that it's a little bit more complicated just than all the suffering is done by one racial group. There's
no, but you know what, you know what that says? We're starting to see an evening out, and that's not the direction we want to go. What we want is life expectancy for blacks to increase, not for whites to decrease. That's what's going on, and that's what people are angry about. And black people are really angry. Look, I look at Trump as like the anti-Republicans. Even my mom jettisoned Bush because he's a bullshit, fake liar. That's what she calls him.
I agree.
Okay, so the only thing Republicans ever promised a working-class white was, we're going to get rid of affirmative action. That's what they promised.
Right.
Because it's not fair to put one person in front of another, which is why we have affirmative action to undo 400 years of that, right? So the white guy figures out, fuck, man, forever war. And my brother comes home walking around on popsicle sticks, and my house is worthless, and my job's in Mexico. When is the black person going to overthrow? So he overthrows Republicans. When is the black person overthrow the Democrats? What are they giving them? What are they giving them?
Well, they're getting a lot. And by the way, life expectancy for African Americans has gained quite a bit, just for the record, in the last 20 years. That's actually been a good thing, I think. But what the key thing to understand about African Americans from a political standpoint is that they are the linchpin of the Democratic Party. Democrats can't win elections without total unanimous buy-in from African-American voters, which is, you know, is fine, okay? But that tells you a lot about the motive. So, like, if you have, like, I have two pretty good friends who are black, who, one sort of conservative,
hey, good for
the
you.
Other... No, you're missing it. Who are out of step politically with other
black people in America. And one's sort of conservative, the other's very conservative. But if you ask either one of them, like, what's that like to have slightly different views from those of the Democratic Party, they'll tell you, you get attacked relentlessly. Like, you're not allowed to think for yourself. People call you a traitor. They attack you personally. Like, why do they do that? They do that because they have to. Instead of making the case, you know, vote for us and your life will get better in this or that way, they have to tell you, if you leave, you can never come back. You know, we're going to crush you. And that's an ugly kind of politics, I think.
Tucker, the picture of the newly elected reps, the Republicans and the Democrats, there was so much to do over. Look at this picture of the Democrats. It looks like America. Look at this picture of the Republicans. It's all old white guys. And, you know, the attack is on old white guys. And I hear it all the time. And I'm amazed that that can be, you can just broad brush someone for being white that way in light of how horrible it is the other way. And we know that. But nonetheless, are Republicans interested in making that picture look more diverse? Are there really women? Are there women running and they just don't win? Or is there no money behind women? Why is that picture?
I don't know. I mean, it's an interesting question. I mean, I know my own preference. I'm hardly in charge of the Republican Party. I think it's one of the dumbest groups of people I've ever seen. So it's hard to account for a lot of the things that they do. But I would say, I think the nationalist message is the right message, which is to say the thing that unites us all, regardless of color or religion or even place of birth, is that we're Americans and we believe in America and we want a government that defends us. Okay, so that's nationalism.
But is that a nationalist message or is that a patriotic message? Because the nationalism label has a bad connotation.
Well, you put white in front of it.
Well, I don't know why. I mean, yeah, there's white nationalism, I guess. I'm not even sure what that is. Obviously, I reject it. I don't think it has anything to do with what I'm saying.
No, we don't say it's
what you're saying.
We're having a conversation, but Bob's saying it's the nomenclature.
No. It's really simple. A small number of people have gotten really rich from not having meaningful borders. So, obviously, capital doesn't want any barriers because that creates friction and cost. So, if you have fewer barriers, you make more money. The finance class does. So, they're opposed to any change in this. The average person is like, wait a second.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
How does what?
How does the financial class make out when there's no borders?
Cheap labor.
Well, because, yeah, well, of course, because it's much more efficient for a business.
But the cheap labor.
Because it costs a lot.
The cheap labor.
You don't want to have
Ford
your trucks made
went
in
to
Detroit.
Mexico.
Yeah. Right. And then the other stuff here becomes cheaper. Like,
well, of course.
Gardening.
So it's totally. Look, if you're a business owner, if you're financing companies, I mean, if you're, in other words, you're in the managerial class. Borders are just an impediment to commerce. That's bad. Like, no class at Harvard Business School will teach you that national borders are good because they're not good, actually, for business. They're bad for business. But the problem is that people want them. They want leaders who care about them, who care about them more. In other words, if you found out that your parents love the neighbor's kids every bit as much as they love you, you'd be really upset by that. Your parents' duty is to love you most. Our leaders' duty is to love us most and to look out for our interests. And so when people attack nationalism, they're doing it for a reason. And that's because the current system is making them rich, and it's completely impoverishing, for example, your state, but they don't care because they don't care about you and they don't live there. So that's what's actually going on, this debate about, oh, it's like you're a Nazi, you're a Klansman or something. No, I hate that crap. And actually, nationalism is the antidote to that crap, the antidote to identity politics, which is going to get us to race war, obviously. That's what it is. It's a low-grade race war. I hate that stuff. What we should all be saying is, who cares what color you are? Who cares if you're Muslim or Christian? What you care about is that we're all American. That's nationalism. That's good.
Which is kind of the premise of, you know, I want to plug your book, Ship of Fools, and congratulations, the New York Times number one bestseller. Is it still the number one bestseller? Is it still at the top?
I think it's down to number three after 6 weeks.
Nicely done, man. But I think, if I understand it, what you're saying mostly is the oligarchy rules, and it's dressed up in the clothes of democracy, and what's going on underneath is devolved into race and class baiting. And if that's what happens, it's either going to lead to authoritarian rule, revolution in the streets, or hopefully sort of a velvet return of power to the people. More or less, right? If we keep going,
is more nicely put than I put it in the book. I wish you'd written the intro for me because that's exactly the point. and I don't think I said it as artfully as you did, but yes, that's exactly right. We don't have that many options. This is moving really quickly in a new direction. We're pretending it's not. We're pretending it's 1995 again, and we'll all get back to normal once Trump leaves. That's a lie. It's not about Trump. I mean, Trump makes some things worse and some things better, but fundamentally it's not about Trump. It's about much bigger forces that produce Trump. So I agree with you completely, and I don't want revolution. I don't want radical populism. I really would like to return to 1995 or 1975 to a happier, more stable country. And how do you do that? You do it by acknowledging and addressing the root problems, which, again, are mostly economic.
Yeah, I don't like radical. Any, I don't like revolution because the beer truck does not show up when shit is burning.
Deep and true.
You know, most of us really don't do much in terms of contributing to society in the sense of food, heat, you know what
right.
I mean? Like the real stuff. So if you want to see things smashed, good luck to you, because how are you going to eat? People wouldn't even know where to get water. So
exactly.
At some point, we better it's the way people say things to each other, I think, right? Because if you talk about the borders, people bum-rushing them, nobody's for that. Nobody's for rocks being thrown. Nobody's for jumping a fence. Order, integrity. I talk to my wife. She goes, no, I'm not for that, but I'm a humanist. But there does have to be order, and that's not a racist proposition.
No, of course not. I mean,
tone now? Because it's ratings?
Because they want you to. Because they want you to shut up and obey. That's why.
Who's they?
I mean, this isn't a serious discussion about what racism is and who is racist. I mean, that's the last thing they want, is a serious discussion on that topic. What they want is you to be quiet and do what you're told. This is a form of social control, obviously. And they're using the bluntest possible instrument, which is accusation of racism designed to destroy you. And so, like, that's how high the stakes are. I think if you're me, I mean, I can only speak for myself. The object is just to ignore the noise, to try to tell the truth. I could be wrong, but I'm not hiding any motive. I don't have any motive that I'm not telling you about it. You may disagree with me, but I'm not, like, secretly trying to do anything. I just think that there's no economic rationale for what we're doing. And by the way, if you want to inject race into it, let's be completely honest and about who's getting hurt the most. And, of course, it's black men are getting hurt the most because, as you noted at the outset, they are economically at the bottom of the labor pool. And so the massive increase in low-skilled labor in this country has hurt them most. It hasn't done anything bad to me. There aren't, like, a million new talk show hosts from foreign countries, you know what I mean, trying to take my job. But if I'm at the bottom of the labor pool, my labor is worth less because supply and demand is real. If you have an overabundance of something, it's less valuable. That's why sand is cheap. And so if you have a huge number of people willing to work for less, the value of your labor is undercut. Labor leaders used to understand this. You think the Ruther brothers were for illegal immigration? Are you joking? They were totally opposed to it.
Listen
and
to
so
you.
And so was Cesar Chavez. And you know what I mean? Like, this is all this, like, you're a racist if you're not for open borders. It's just it's a diversion. It's a joke. It's just children making children noises. Shut up, kids. That's my feeling.
Tucker, I want to ask you, because you've been in the news twice recently in incidents that sounded positively awful. Are you finding it difficult to go around and do your private business because people want to yell at you and chant or whatever they want to do?
Are you scared?
I mean, look, I have a super happy life. I've been more successful than I ever thought I would be. I've been married to the same woman for 27 years, really happily, mostly by good luck. And so I had four healthy kids. So there's, like, nothing I have to whine about. So I don't want to whine. Sometimes I feel self-pitying and I think to myself, you've got nothing to be self-pitying about, because I don't. But just as an academic question, I think it's become really hard to disagree with, you know, on a bunch of these topics without paying a personal price. And I definitely have paid that price, and I'm sorry, but the honest truth is, I'm in a much better place to pay that price than your average person. I work for a company that understands my job is to say what I think is true. So I'm not going to get fired for it. Most people would be fired instantly for saying what I say. Instantly. You get called into the sensitivity department down the hall, and they would just can you. And then, you know, good luck feeding your family. And so I just think my real concern is a country where you're not allowed to tell the truth. You're required to lie about everything all the time. What's that country? I mean, do you really want to live in that country? Like, what is that? You know, it's terrible. Nobody wants to live in that country. And the irony is a lot of people voted for Trump in the hope that they would be able to say what they really think. Not to say mean things, but just to be honest. And of course, we have less speech than we did 2 years ago. What is that? You know?
Well, it concerns me that people, especially on college campuses and even younger, are learning that you're supposed to think the same thing. And it seems like if you don't think this way, you're wrong. You know, we hear about Republican groups on campus that are being told that, you know, get it off campus. You're marginalizing me. I'm sure you've probably seen videos at Chico State and some other places where that concerns me. I assume guys and gals when they get to be 20, 25, probably figure it out. But boy, that's, you know, that's a little indoctrination there. It's pretty heavy.
I don't know. I think, unfortunately, most people kind of believe what they're told. You know, there's always a percentage who are like, wait a second, is this really true? You know what I mean? Like, there were people who ran away from Jonestown. You know, this is the 40th anniversary right now of the Jonestown massacre. And there were a bunch of people who were like, wait, I'm not sure Jim Jones is God, actually. And they left. But most people, when told to kill their kids, did. And I'm not attacking anyone. I'm just saying that's the way people are. Like, if someone in authority is telling you something, you tend to kind of believe it. No one believed Galileo, you know what I mean? When he said that the earth was orbiting the sun, they're like, that's not true. You know, the priest told us differently. So I think there's a huge cost in not having intellectual diversity and having just one point of view, some rigid deal where everybody has to agree. You've got a whole generation of people who believe that dissent is a crime, who believe that hate speech is a thing, and you're not allowed to say something if I'm offended by it. Like, they actually believe that because they were told it.
Well,
and so what's it going to be like in 30 years? You think you're going to be able to do your job? You think you're able to have this show in a country run by those people? I don't think you are.
Well, I'm going to fucking do it.
Yeah, well, good luck. So, you know, wait till PayPal decides. Look what they did to Alex Jones. And everyone's like, oh, Alex Jones is crazy. So what? That's not the point. The point is Alex Jones had, you know, he didn't hurt anybody. He was giving his opinion. You maybe don't agree with it. I don't agree with some of it. But so what? And all of a sudden, PayPal's like, no, you can't do financial transactions. And YouTube's like, no, you can't put your videos on our site. And Facebook and Twitter, it's like, no, you must be quiet. And what's his recourse? And Alex Jones is a famous guy with a lot of viewers. Doesn't matter. They destroyed Alex Jones in like 2 days.
So,
and why couldn't they do that to you? Of course they could.
Well, I am. That's why I sit in my basement heartbroken, man. I made a decision to walk. I fucking called Trump in 15, right? I'm seeing all this. What's going on in my country with my people, and there's no room for it. So am I scared? Yeah, I'm scared if I can ever project their voice again. And I'm asking
exactly.
You are a figurehead of this shit. Are you physically frightened, and are you spiritually frightened?
I'm really upset about, and I don't want to get sappy, but like I'm from here. I love this country. I mean, I grew up here. And I don't have anywhere else to go. So I love this country, and it makes me very, very sad. I don't feel physically threatened. You know, I've always been, you know, whatever. I mean, I've never felt threatened, and I've always been a hunter my whole life, and I grew up in a family of hunters hunting, you know, so I'm not a violent person, but I'm obviously comfortable with guns. And so I don't feel threatened personally, but there's a huge, I mean, since you're asking, you know, you're in your house and you feel totally calm and happy and there's all this nonsense going on in the world, but you're sitting at home in your kitchen and you feel like I'm in my cave. And I no longer feel that way, and neither does my wife. And that's a really sad thing. Like, until it happens to you, it's hard to imagine what it feels like, but it's really a bummer to be sitting in your house and not being able to relax. Like, there's a huge cost. And so part of me thinks, I want to go find every person, all these little rich kids who did that to me, and I want to hurt them. And then I'm like, no, because thinking that way, being angry and vengeful, grudge-holding, rage, like, that stuff will destroy you. And so I'm really trying not to be that guy. I don't want to be that guy.
But if
I don't want to go crazy.
If they breach your door.
Well, then it's not a question. It's a straightforward deal. And I would never want to hurt anybody. But, of course, if someone came into my house, I would hurt them because that would be my duty. It's not even a question at that point. I don't think that's going to happen. I'm not worried about it. That's the least scary thing. The most scary thing is that I get home and my wife's like, oh, I'm uncomfortable here and we can't relax. And like, that's the real cost. You know, some little Antifa tool showing up at my house, like, that's just a very simple equation. that I could solve, and I wouldn't even think about it. You know, you're in my house. Okay, done. But it's not being able to go to dinner, and I can't take my kids anywhere. What happens if someone yells at me in an airport in front of my daughters? Then my choice is be humiliated in front of them or go to jail for committing violence. It's like, then you don't want to go to the airport. Then you don't want to leave your house. But then you can't stay at home because you see what I'm saying. And I'm not trying to whine. I'm just saying
I know all about
the psychological
it.
Aspect of it is really painful. And then part of you, like I said to my wife, let's just leave. Like, I don't need to. I've been here my whole life. She was born in Washington. I was like, let's just go to Florida and live in some stupid gated community, you know, with a decent restaurant and just stay there. And she's like, I'm not leaving. Like, I'm from here. I know everybody here. I love this place. This is my neighborhood. These kids aren't even from here. She's like, I was born, you know, half a mile from here. I'm not leaving. And so I admire that about her, but it's like, it's just a bummer. It's just a bummer. It's psychological warfare designed to terrify you. And even if you're pretty tough, we're not super tough, but I think we're pretty tough. You know, it has an effect.
I feel for you, Tucker, and I'm stunned at how many people think this is okay. And I don't think it's a majority group, but I was just online after that reading. I'm like, really? People really think this is okay? They really think this is a commentator on TV? Do people, is this something that's happening a lot that we don't hear about as much? I mean, are people, is Jim
it's
Acosta?
Happening constantly.
Is Jim Acosta
happening
being
constantly.
Bothered in restaurants?
I hope, you know, I sure hope not.
No, I,
do, don't,
I don't want it either.
For Jim Acosta, but I don't want him to get hassled. As far as I know, and I know this sounds self-serving, and I could be wrong, but my understanding is it's only happening to people who are, you know, who disagree with the prevailing view of rich people. You know what I mean? Who are dissenting from what everybody thinks. With all the cool kids think one thing, and if you think something different, you're going to get hassled. And yeah, I know a lot of people, and I can give you their names, but I mean people who you know you look at people from afar, and you're like, oh man, you know, you make all this money, and you're famous, and that must be so great. But the closer you get to, I mean, I live my life around those people, so I have some sense of what it's actually like. And in a lot of cases, it's really hell. Like, you wouldn't want to live their life at all.
Yeah, you know, man.
You wouldn't. You don't want to live. I mean, Charlie, you, let's ask you a question. You covered Hollywood. You were in Los Angeles for the New York Times, and
yes.
You must have run into actors who literally couldn't go anywhere. How happy were they? Were they happy people?
No. No. And if you had to meet them at surreptitious little, you either met them quietly at some place where they couldn't be seen, or their collar's up, or they're on
exactly.
These ridiculous junkets where they're not them. You know what I mean?
Right.
People going, you talk to them in a hotel room and you're ushered out and somebody's ushered in. And no, it's be careful what you wish for. You know,
exactly.
You become they, whether you're they or not. So when
you
say they want you to think this way, you're talking about the power, their puppy dogs, the media at the table that think they're part of they. It's this whole cabal. And, you know,
Yeah. Are
you part of it? Are you they? Because people think you're they, and in some way you must be they. That's how you're seen by the Antifa douchebag on your porch.
Well, it's funny you say that. I mean, in some sense, I am they. I mean, I'm a rich person.
Who's got a big microphone?
Yeah, exactly. And I have a microphone, and I, you know, I mean, I guess, like, I live definitely in some ways, I live really well. But on the other hand, I feel like I don't agree with anyone I live near. Not because I'm inherently against rich people or something, but because I think that Google is a bigger threat to our country than Vladimir Putin. And so, like, I think Google actually has a lot more power than Vladimir Putin in America. Like, that's what I think. I'm very suspicious of corporate power, and I'm just amazed that nobody else seems to be. I don't really know why. So maybe it's unfair, maybe I'm deluding myself, but I think I'm actually an outsider, at least ideologically, I'm an outsider for sure.
Yeah, well, you're upset about Amazon, right? And all the nice corporate cookies, the nice public dollar cookies were given a very rich company.
See, I think it's disgusting. And I'm just
so
wondering, like, whatever happened to the left that was supposed to be pushing back against corporate control of our society? Wasn't that their job?
Weren't they
supposed to be looking out for the rest of us? And now they're just like handmaidens to Jeff Bezos, like sucking up to the richest man
but
in the world.
That's true. That's 100% true. And so is the right.
Well, then, see, I guess I would argue the right. Well, I would argue two things. One, that's been the right's traditional
there
role.
There you go. So there's. And what about the rest of us who got to pay the bill?
I couldn't agree more. So it's really simple. The right either has to wake up and realize their role is now to protect the middle class from these massively powerful forces that are hurting it, or slip into irrelevancy. I mean, it's really simple. They just haven't realized who their voters are. And their voters are not the people they were a generation ago. The voters are the American middle class. By the way, the Republicans have no interest in representing the middle class. That's why they passed the Trump tax bill, which, you know, was, of course, aimed at the, you know, the finance class. But hopefully they will wake up and realize, wait, these are our people. Maybe we should meaningfully represent them. The Democrats represented them for generations.
Well, wait a minute. Charlie, listen, Tucker, you're also on the 910 Superstation here in Detroit. So, you know, it's the voice of the community. So what you're saying, they're listening right now, is you weren't for that big, gigantic tax cut.
Well, I didn't like it at all.
It was for the rich.
I didn't support it when it happened, and I don't like it now.
It's going to fuck us.
I mean, the truth, how honest do you want to be? I didn't fully understand all of the implications of it. You know, I didn't get all of it, actually. But,
you know, I was talking to a buddy of mine. He was on the Lehman executive board back in the day. Remember Lehman, right? He says they have opportunity zones. Each governor was able to call up and offer opportunity zones in their state, which means you can dump your capital gains into this zone, and they're basically taxed at almost nothing. So now we have these pockets of development for the ultra-rich to dodge taxes. That's the kind of shit you're talking about.
Well, that's exactly it. And look, there was that one thing that Trump said in the 2016 campaign that wasn't that important mathematically, but symbolically I thought was vital, and that was getting rid of something called carried interest, which is a loophole in the tax code that allows people in private equity to pay half the tax rate of the rest of us, wage earners. I mean, I make a big wage, but I'm still a wage earner. I pay 50% of my income in taxes, okay? If I was in private equity, I would pay 25%. I'd be paying half the taxes that I'm paying now. So why are the richest people in our society allowed to pay half the taxes? And the answer is because they have good lobbyists. So Trump promised to get rid of that. He didn't. The Democrats, by the way, joined the Republicans in the Congress in defending it. But it was infuriating to me. It was infuriating to me. And that's when I realized, like, we need the Republican Party to become the party of normal people, you know, because the Democrats aren't anymore.
Well, yeah, I don't think either of them are. So I'll take any party that would be that. You know, I'm the guy,
like,
I'm picking and choosing and cherry picking Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, Independent. There's no place for me. None.
I'm sure that's right. I'm sure that's absolutely right.
And you know what's going to happen, bro? You know what's going to happen?
What?
The billions of special interest dollars, your cameras, CNN's cameras, MSNBC's cameras, they're going to come here like a tsunami over the next 2 years because the Rust Belt went blue to red, a huge humiliation for the Democrats. They want it back. We're the battleground again. They'll pay lip service and do nothing for our kids.
Of course. No, you're right. I mean, because they don't represent the middle class anymore. The Democratic Party is the party of the rich people. I mean, Wall Street supports Democrats, period. Look at the numbers. And then people who are wholly dependent on government, you know? But like normal people, the guy with 100 IQ making 60 grand a year is not really represented by anyone right now. And so I just think, look, you know, this stuff changes according to demand. If there's a large group of voters who want someone to represent them, the party will represent them. I think the Republicans will wake up to this at a certain point. And that's why the Democrats have to keep calling him racist to make sure that nobody can hear the message, you know?
Well, that word gets thrown around a lot these days. I've never seen it thrown around so much.
Well, it's just, it doesn't make anybody happier, actually. And if they're, I couldn't be more opposed to racism. So if, like, there is racism, then let's call it out and describe what it is. But people know they're being manipulated. They're totally being manipulated, well, obviously.
Of course.
They're not that stupid.
Well, look, you know, the blue wave. Okay, well, there was a red wave, and before that there was a blue wave, and before that there was a red wave. The American people just ping-ponging around looking for something, right? Obama loses 63 seats in the House. Bush loses control of the Capitol. Clinton loses control of the Capitol. This isn't anything new. We're just going around in circles, dude, which is kind
of
the book, Ship of Fools. It's rudderless. It's rudderless.
Yeah.
I don't know if you meant the book or the country, Charlie.
It's the book is trying to explain the country.
That's funny.
What's go ahead, sorry.
I was just going to mention the mayor of Warren, Michigan, who was on tape making some very racist, I mean, blatantly racist comments. And there was really, I thought, oh boy, they're going to drum him out in no time. Nothing came of Jim Fouts in Warren. The tapes of him, I mean, what blatant racism, and it was just allowed to stand. It wasn't a big deal. It wasn't, I don't know, did not catch the zeitgeist enough? Is he not powerful enough?
I missed that.
Local media dropped the ball.
It's basically, he's the Democratic mayor of the biggest city in Macomb County. So what, you know, he's saying some, you call them racist things.
And they were very racist.
Then he's on tape, right? And he's saying it's not him. And I'm like, this motherfucker's our local Trump.
Oh, but he actually said it. I mean, he's saying...
And Trump said it too. You know, what do you know, I mean...
Well, I haven't heard Trump on tape saying the things that... Well,
grab her by the pussy.
Grab her by the pussy.
All that. Hey, Tucker...
I'm talking about racism.
Tucker, you know Trump. What's that dude like?
He's exactly like he seems. Exactly like he seems. I mean, that is the one
Orange?
Thing about Trump. It's not a defense of Trump. It's just an acknowledgement of what's true. Trump is the most transparent person I've ever met. Like, in person, he's exactly the way he is in public. Probably a few more, you know, more profanity. But basically, he's totally recognizable. Every other politician I've ever known, and you've known more than I have, they're all the same. They're like, you know, when they're in public, it's all children are our future. And when they're in private, they're like, where are the hookers? You know, they're like completely different people. But Trump is exactly the same. Like, he hasn't changed at all. It's spooky, actually.
Describe him.
He's very funny. He's very simple. He's very instinctive. He's not an intellectual. He's not interested in abstract ideas at all. He has a very strong sense of people. I think he can be insecure. He's not a trusting guy at all. He doesn't trust people. He trusts himself. He trusts his own gut on things. What he believes that what seems true is true, and he'll say it. He's a huge believer in the idea that everyone's dumb and that the conventional view of everything is wrong. And he'll just say that, like, all the smart people say one thing, you know, but they're wrong. Like, he really thinks that. He's emotional. He's sentimental. He, you know, in his speeches, there's always this moment where he looks out in the crowd and he says, you know, I love you. And it's a little bit, I mean, there are many kinds of love. I don't know if it's the kind of love that is going to call you the next day, but he means it. Like, he gets caught up. Like, he likes to be around other people. Even though he distrusts other people, he gets all his energy from them. He's a pretty interesting guy.
Then why
but
is he?
He's not complicated. That's the thing about Trump. That's why I'm always so interested to see the coverage. And they're like, well, what he's really, you know, secretly, he's got this plan. It's like, no, there's nothing a secret. It's all playing out in public. He kind of says exactly what he thinks. I mean, maybe he's some, like, dangerous racist or something, but knowing him, I think he would just say it if he were. You know what I mean? Like, that's what he is. That's what he's like.
Why is he such a pathetic judge of talent? I mean,
that's so interesting. I totally agree. That's so interesting, and I'm not sure I understand it. I think it's almost masochism. Only you would zero in on that, but that's the thing that I'm obsessed with, is why does he have an unerring record of hiring people who undermine him? Why would you hire Omarosa? Why would you hire Anthony Scaramucci? Anthony Scaramucci?
Mooch,
you know what I mean?
But
how did he put up the, how did he put up those big buildings? How did he do that?
But with this talent, Michael Cohen? I mean, I actually like all those people. I like Omarosa, actually. But I'm not attacking anyone. I'm just saying, like, those people didn't like him. They didn't agree with him. They were disloyal. Everything about that was self-destructive. Why would you do that? And I kind of sometimes think maybe that's the answer, is that he's got a self-destructive quality. A lot of us do. I certainly do. I used to drink too much. I mean, I know a lot about that, and I think maybe that's what it is. I don't know what the other answer is.
Well, Well, which is more likely? He gets reelected or he gets indicted?
Oh, I'd say both are definitely possible. Maybe both at the same time, you know?
That's a clever answer.
Wow.
You never know. I mean, I think this is so dynamic. I mean, you really don't know. Things that I thought were true a year ago have proved totally untrue. I mean, my views right now are so different from when they were 5 years ago or 10 years ago. It's like I'm a different person because America is a different place. So my views have completely changed, and I'm sure they'll be totally different next year. You know, you want to retain the ability to change your mind. You want to stay flexible. You have to because things are moving too fast, don't you think?
I got to think about that. I mean, technology and all that's moving fast, but, you know, out here in the streets for real, people get along. We're doing okay.
Yeah.
I just think it's, you know, Acosta, Hannity, all right, you, NPR.
Rachel Maddow.
There's just so much noise that people are uptight. Right? And what they're really just worried about is their kids. So, yeah, it's moved at light speed, but amongst each other, I think we're doing okay. And maybe that's
good.
Really...
Well, I hope that's right. I mean, I don't know.
I don't either, man, but I hope we do some work together in these next 2 years. You know what I mean?
I hope so, too.
We've been trying, but fuck it. You know, we keep trying, all right?
Yeah. Are we on the radio, by the way?
Yeah, we're going to be on the radio. And we do a podcast, right? By the way, Top 100 in America, bro. We even beat Limbaugh.
I love it.
And then it's rebroadcast on radio, and they bleep it.
And, oh, Kaz, but so you can use the naughty words.
They're not naughty. That's just populism, bro. That's what it smells like.
That's the spirit. I don't even know what those words mean, so it's confusing to me, but I'm sure your audience will get it.
Okay, listen, man, I could go all day, but we got a guy we got to bring on. Guess what he did? He's at war with the mayor of Detroit, another guy in trouble with a lot of things, and he tailed him. He tailed the mayor, put a video on him. The mayor went to his love nest with not his wife. And then he drove around City Hall with a Jumbotron on a flatbed truck. Yeah, man.
That's not someone I want to have an argument with.
Yeah, if this was New York, that'd be all over the place. All right, bro, man. Look out for yourself. Say hello to the family. And, thanks for coming on.
That was totally fun. Great talking, Charlie.
Really appreciate it.
Thanks.
Tucker Carlson, ladies and gentlemen. Ship of Fools. Let me jump in and get some business done here. Some of us are secure with our finances right now, but might not be as prepared as we need to be when planning for our future financial obligations, whether it be pension planning, life insurance, college savings plans, or tax-deferred investments. Luke Nowacki can help answer all of your questions and help plan for your future finances. Call Luke at 248-663-4748, 248-663-4748 to set up a plan today. Securities and investment advisory services offered through Royal Alliances Associates, Incorporated, member of FINRA, SIPC. Royal Alliance Associates, Inc. is separately owned, and other entities and or marketing names, products, or services referenced here are independent of Royal Alliances Associates, Inc. And don't forget, it's the holiday season. American Coney Island, founded by Gus Karros in 1917, is Detroit's oldest family-run restaurant and is the original home of the famous Detroit Coney Dog with chili, mustard, and Vidalia onions. It's downtown at, Michigan Avenue and Lafayette, where they intersect, right there on the corner, the Flatiron Building of Detroit City. And since it's the holidays, remember, you can ship Coney kits to anywhere in the country. I've been saying the world, but I might have been wrong. So this being no bullshit news, I half retract that, and we'll find out there are customs issues. They'll ship it straight to your or a friend's door. Just go to AmericanConeyIsland.com, and if you're downtown, they sell all the good craft beers in Michigan. So anyway, hey, Bobby, we got Carmack.
We are working on calling him right now.
We're working on calling Bob. It's important to say Bob made the news, sort of, as we were just talking with Carl.
Some news.
Yeah.
Not everybody.
See, I want Bob to tell us what happened, but basically he's in a property war with the mayor of Detroit. So he put a tail on him and caught the mayor going to a atelier out in the suburbs.
Well, we don't know where he was going because I don't know whose house it is, and I don't know who the female is.
Yeah, I know who the female is, but to me, it's not important who the female is at this point, right about now.
What if she's 95 and he's bringing her Meals on Wheels?
That's correct, except he's not getting out of the car with Meals on Wheels, and he's got a garage door opener, it looks like.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
And is it his house?
I've been around Meals on Wheels. You don't hang out for 3-4 hours.
Maybe he's bonding. Maybe it's his mother-in-law.
Could be.
Just saying, I was disappointed that I didn't see a picture of the person because I thought it might have added to the story. I know that's very prurient of me. Just saying.
Wanting to know who the woman is?
Yeah, I know it's probably wrong of me, but I'll admit that I wanted to see who the person was because I thought it might have added to my the picture I was drawing, or was being drawn for me.
But yeah.
Or it might have eliminated the picture.
But I'm just looking at what Bob Carmack's doing because remember we had him on before. This is the guy wearing the wire, passing bribes to City Councilman Gabe Leland, who's pleaded not guilty to, you know, conspiracy to bribery. But they got him on tape, so Bob Carmack is not fucking around.
No, that's the story, is that he went to these ends in his battle, and that's why I thought it was a story. Because I don't know, it's always a little disturbing when someone follows someone around and filming. We all like our privacy. Is privacy just over?
When you're a public official?
I know.
No, there's no privacy. And when you're using the company car to drive out to the burbs? No, that's a public interest. And remember, there's an issue here of where the mayor stays at night. Dave Bing went through this. Kilpatrick went through this. This is the stuff of Detroit City now. You can't just pick and choose.
What if he stays at the Manoogian Mansion 2 nights a week? Is that enough to be a resident? I don't know. I'm asking. I don't know.
Well, look, of all these things I've ever done all the time, you know, eventually the courts will say, well, that's where you vote. It doesn't matter where you lay your head. It's where you have your address. You never get them on residency, but that's up to the people of Detroit to decide, right? Whether it's cool with you if the mayor lives in the city or not, or the county executive. Bob, what's going on?
Phone's dead.
That phone?
I'll get you another one.
Excellent. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to look them up here. Can't work in these conditions.
Dogs barking, dead phones.
Yep.
Going off the rails.
The fuck? I'm going to have to do the speakerphone shit again?
Yeah.
Come on.
You should be charging on there.
There's two phones here and they're both dead.
Really?
Well, let me see if I can get Bob. I just got to do this the old school way. Well, hey, Bob. Thanks a lot, motherfucker. But here's the thing. Bob's got a press conference lined up for early next week. Says he's got more. So the question is, we know where the mayor went, but where did he go after that? Where is he sleeping? Where is he sleeping? Hey, Bob, never mind, dude. Just fuck it. Just fuck it.
Bob's not home?
Nah. We were supposed to get a hold of him a little while ago, so I'm a busy dude. We'll get him. So ask me a question, but I'll tell you what. Ask me any question, Drew, about it.
About the...
Oh, there's Bob. We're going to have to do it on speakerphone. Hey, Bob, what's up? Bob.
Yeah, Charlie.
Okay, you're on the radio, man.
How's it going, Charlie?
Real good. Hey, let me ask the guys in the studio. Can you hear them all right?
Yeah, sounds not bad.
Hear them okay.
Hey, okay, Bob, why are you putting a tail on the mayor?
I'm just trying to figure out what he's doing, you know. I tried to forward a couple files on his car wrecks and not him living at the mansion. They wouldn't give me my foyer, so I put a private eye on him.
You put a private eye on him. So wait a minute. You want it, this is really about where the mayor lives?
Well, I was trying to figure out where he lived. I was trying to figure out what exactly, you know, where he went at nighttime because he was driving without a special protection officer. I think he's been doing that since the first day he got in office.
Well, you know, man, I'm working on the same tip. I went out to the Manoogian for a number of days last winter, you know, from like 5:30 to 10:30. He was in town, but he never came or went. And, I'm working on tips, too. You know, I mean, this is not a small issue, considering Dave Bing went through the same thing.
No, it ain't a small issue. I got witnesses that he's living somewhere out by Pontiac Trail in Orchard Lake. Out there, they saw him at the Kroger store with a hat on and so forth. And that's the reason why that I put a tail on him to find out what was going on. And this is where it took me.
You sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to ask, does he ever sleep downtown, to your knowledge? You had a guy following him.
He went back to the mansion during the time that, you know, that we followed him. He went back to City County Building.
And then you didn't know what happened to him after that?
No, I took it off, you know, the tail and so forth, you know.
Why would you do that if you're trying to figure out where he sleeps?
Well, he went back to the mansion one time, and the other, he went back to work to work. So, you know, I only did it for a short period of time, you know, during this time.
How many days, like, did you have a tail on him?
I think it was about four.
About 4 days. So you're paying the PI guys about $5,000 a day?
No, it don't cost that much. You know, it costs probably about $100 an hour.
The report was you spent $20,000.
Well, I got a little surprise for you. Something coming up next week or maybe after Thanksgiving Day.
Give me a little hint, Bob, because this is the No Bullshit News Hour, and we pride ourselves on knowing people making news. So give us a little something.
Let me tell you, Charlie, I don't want to have Duggan get hit in the head with a drumstick during Thanksgiving, okay? You know, I hate to ruin their family dinner and support. I feel sorry for his wife that has to go through this and his family. You know, it's a bad situation.
What's a little that you got coming, though? Give us a little hint. You got more tape?
I got more of everything. I'm going to tell you that. It's going to come out after Thanksgiving.
But let's just say something unexpectedly happens to you. How would we ever know?
Well, I tell you what. I figured that out before he got involved in that. You know, I'm on Michigan Avenue, so, you know, I understand how it all works. You know, I had some people come threaten me, my girl yesterday. You know, and I had some people coming to the office today. The situation is that, hey, I ain't going to stop or back down from anybody.
Well, what's a little bit you got? You got to give me a little touch, little drip of honey. Whisper it.
Let's just say another CD.
Oh, and some more video. Would this be saying where the mayor sleeps at night? Would this show us that?
I tell you what, I don't want to say a thing. Let it all come out. Let it come out, Charlie.
Well, Bob, I got to say,
let me tell you, this is going to be serious.
I got to say,
Is it going to help your case, Bob?
What's that?
Is it going to help your case with your property dispute?
Yeah, I'm getting an echo from you.
He wants to know if all the stuff you're doing and the stuff you're promising, does this help you with your property disputes with the city at all, or have you just said, fuck it, I'm going nuclear?
Well, no. The property that I have on 8107, 8124 Michigan Avenue, I'm going to win that case. The situation is his lawsuit against me on Melville, I'm going to win that case. And I already won the case up in federal court with extortion on Gabe Lynn, and he took the fifth. And all I'm trying to do is get the mayor's deposition to have the facts be put up. Why he micromanaged what was being done to me. He told Butch Howell what to do. He told Madonna what to do. He told Dave Bell what to do. He runs that ship like a tight ship. He don't let nobody make a move unless he tells them what to do.
I've had my relationship with him, so I'm not going to say you're wrong about him micromanaging things. Again, how to, you know, forget it. Never mind how it helps you. Nobody cares. What do you got on the fucking tape?
I got some good stuff. I'm going to tell you that.
Can I just ask this? Is this something that would hurt him professionally or personally or both?
It's going to hurt him both.
Oh.
Let me ask you another thing. Why did you put it on a Jumbotron on a flatbed truck, and did you invite the media out there to come look at it?
Let me say this. I put it on the truck there for it to visually be seen on that. You know, I couldn't carry a TV around and put it out there by the county building. So I put it on this truck. The situation is I didn't believe that it would be out there like it did with the media and so forth. But, you know, it shows that he was driving his car, right? He drove it to this place and he came back and he drove it. I don't know about you, but there's no crime to that so far, you know, and... You know, I asked for his records on the car because he had 120,000 miles on the car. The city paid $7,800 in overcharges of mileage. They replaced the windshield two or three times, which cost $600 or $300. They replaced the tires, replaced the brakes. So, you know, all this charges that the city's paying for, we need to know, you know, why it's being spent. He has other cars besides his car. So why is he going by himself at 7 o'clock at night for the last 4 years and with none of his special protection?
For the last 4 years?
Oh, yeah. He right when he got a mirrors off, he's been by himself.
He does drive by himself.
Yeah.
All right, Bob.
He has a special protection team during the day. He has a GMC that he drives, and they drive him around. But how do you get 120,000 miles on a car?
By driving it a lot. So listen, speaking of driving a lot, that truck with the Jumbotron, did you invite the media out to come look at it?
No, I tell you, what did I do? I talked to ML from Channel 2, right? And he came out. I told him I had this video and so forth, and he never saw it. So, and Channel 7 was trying to call me on Tamara Green. And I told them that I was over by the city county building. They came out and looked at it. And then that brought everybody up.
So everybody was out there.
What's it cost to rent a truck like that with a big screen? Is that your own truck?
No, that ain't my own truck. I brought it out of Chicago.
What's that cost?
Is it expensive?
A couple grand. It ain't much.
It seems like fun. I mean, I'd put something else on there, but...
Hey Charlie.
Yeah.
Did the job, didn't it?
Kind of did.
It
started some stuff. You know, like as I've been writing about, you know, all the federal investigations going on, right? Those don't seem to get as much traction as, you know, early evening rendezvous, if you will. Could be Meals on Wheels, of course, as Drew was saying. Could be he's delivering meals to all
I never saw a picture of the female, so I don't know. I don't know who she is.
Well, let me say this to you. I'm trying to depose Mike Garvalia, Dave Katz, and Nate Allen. That's just three bad guys. That's the guys that... the fundraisers at COBA. I'm trying to depose the four attorneys that attacked me on this building, on the land deal, and so forth. They all don't want to be deposed. Mayor Duggan don't want to be deposed. So the situation is we're both fighting the same fight. You just got to keep fighting.
So you're like, I'm going to get even here, man. I'm gonna show up for what I think it is. Is that what you're doing?
Well, let me say this. You got three guys in demolition that got all the contracts, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got three guys that do all the fundraising. Add that up. 3 plus 3 is 6.
Whoa. 6.
I'm not sure what the 6 means.
It means 6.
it's an evil number.
A little bit. Shit, it's all common sense, 666? Man. You got 200 demo guys. How come you use only 3?
And guess what? 6 yes. Upside down. Is 9.
I'm telling you.
I thought you'd say that.
So somebody's getting sucked off.
All right, listen, man. We're gonna jump here, dude. But listen, before we go, listen. Okay, bro. What else you got on the tape?
I can't tell you, Charlie.
Dude, just tell me.
You would know after.
He's not whispering.
You're gonna let me know ahead of time so I'm ready for it.
It would change things in Detroit.
It's going. Okay, listen. Can you let me know what
okay,
it is?
Brother.
Let me know what it is beforehand, all right?
I will, brother.
Okay, we'll talk to you, dude.
Right.
Bye.
Hmm.
What do you make of that, Drew?
Well, you know, normally I would say I'll believe it when I see it, but he did produce something that got a lot of attention. So, I don't know.
He seems confident.
The dispute he has with the city, he is very serious about, at a minimum, getting even.
Well, you know, kind of all part and parcel for the show.
By the way, is that his first appearance since this thing? Because
Bob.
Yeah.
Carmack?
Yeah.
I don't know. No.
Okay.
No. But, you know, he's a regular on the show, man. We don't have suckers on here.
That's true.
Because
bullshit.
If you put the show together, it's just about the rest of us.
It's quite intriguing. I'm trying to think of what could he have? What is he talking about? Said professionally and personally, it would not be a good thing.
Well, you know, you're going to have to tune in, man.
More proof of the cheating.
But remember, you know, equal treatment, man. What about the rest of us? We all don't get the company car. We all don't get the big tax breaks.
No, we're just paying for it.
We all don't get the benefit of the doubt or the, you know, the big lawyers.
Can I ask you a question?
Me?
Yeah.
Anything you want, brother.
He's referring to the mileage. He seemed very...
Oh, you like this big story. Yeah.
I'm interested in it. I am. I don't really... You know, I used to feel like, ha ha, got him! I don't really feel that way. I think it's getting older, and I feel bad for Mike Duggan's wife, because, well, that's really not important.
That's
just
funny.
Just stating it.
You didn't feel funny, sorry for Quabby's wife, did you?
I knew a lot about her. I don't know much about Mrs. Duggan. Maybe Mrs. Duggan is maybe she's the power behind Mike Duggan. Maybe she's pulling the string. I don't know.
Did you feel sorry for Dave Biggs?
In a way, I did feel. I feel sorry for spouses of people like that.
Of course.
But they are in the deal. So
they're in the deal.
It goes so far. Anyway, the 120,000 miles. Is he suggesting that he's driving long distances to?
Yes.
Do what he? Okay.
Yes.
In other words, there all this mileage would be hard to explain without living west of the city.
And yes, and he has more than one car.
Wait, and west of the city or north of the city?
West.
It's west and okay. North.
Now, as you know, I've been...
Thank you, Bob.
The reason...
I'm a regular Google map.
Reason I spent those days out in front of the Manugans because I was working on a tip like his EPU would join him on the west side of the city in the morning. I said, well, damn, that's interesting. So all I know from my point of view is 3 straight days while in town, he needed... came nor left to the mayor's mansion. That's all. I'm doing my job. I did it with Bing. I did it with Kilpatrick. It's the public interest. Say what you want. You know, like, the job's hard, man.
If he's sleeping out of the city most of the time, is that something that will hold a lot of water?
I don't think it's going to fly with the citizens of Detroit.
I kind of don't either.
Yeah, you more than kind of, you know. Remember, he got tossed off the ballot for residency issues.
Mm-hmm.
So if he's playing games, it's not going to fly. Because if that would even be marginally true, what's wrong with our city? Where our children have to live. Where they got to put up with this shit.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It seems like I've never been in the Manoogian Mansion. But it seems to me there's a lot of really nice places you could live in the city. Especially the mayor. So... maybe I don't really understand why someone couldn't bring in themselves to live in the city. If you're supposed to, for the job you were elected to.
We'll find
out. You know what I mean?
We'll find out. Maybe. According to Bob, something's coming. And again, a lot of stuff going on. Feds are still active on a lot of fronts. I don't know.
Can I go back to Jim Fouts for a second?
Yeah, how did he even come up?
Why because you were talking about,
Jim Fouts. Fucking Fouts.
Well, I just brought it up because
I thought you were talking about the quarterback for the Chargers, dude.
Dan Fouts. Jim Fouts, because he said something that was absolutely racist. It was beyond racist. He was demeaning handicapped people. He was demeaning
women.
All kinds of people. Women, yeah. They're all dried up.
Black
and,
people, yeah.
Yeah, so why that just went... phew. But all these... where people take leaps and say it's a racist wall or this is racist or this is white nationalist, it seems that that gains much more traction than a guy who's actually saying blatantly racist things.
All right, well.
So I'm not sure what the
local media dropped the ball for sure because they've been interviewed by 247, AM 760, 12.
Yeah, it's all bunk gone over. It's gone.
They don't ask them about it.
It's like shithole countries.
Yeah.
It's just over.
All right, maybe we'll send Joe to go find him. All right, that's it. That's it. Thanks for listening. Try to love one another. All right.
All right.
Happy Thanksgiving. Down in Botswana, justice down in Zimbabwe will rise. Justice down in Rhodesia will rise.